where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Cassandra Wodzak on the show today. I'm so excited to share her with you. She is an author, a blogger, a YouTuber, a TV personality, healthy cooking expert, a wellness coach, and a meditation teacher. But what I love the most about Cassandra is that she has actually fucking lived it. She has eaten an entire tub of raw cookie dough at 2 a.m. and she puts that on her website as like a way of saying she's lived it. And I love that she has spent 4 hours on the treadmill to try and fill an empty void but just collapsed from exhaustion. She's been with the guy that she thought she wanted, gotten the job she thought would make everything better, and still felt like something was missing. And now she is literally a standing testament to courageously living a life that lights you up from the inside out, and you will feel it when you hear from her. We talked all about being real with what is. We talked about how to be conscious in an area that Cass doesn't usually share much about publicly, which is dating. Why sometimes it's important not to connect with someone's higher self, and how to date as both a spiritual and a human being. How to hold the vision for someone's greatness while seeing the truth of where they're at right now in this moment. We talked about the difference between discernment and judgment. And again, this week we discussed the overuse and abuse of the mirror principle that's coming up really strongly at the moment. So I hope you find it valuable. We talked about how to love someone and not want to be with them, how to unapologetically discern who you want to spend your time with and who you don't, how our judgments can actually be helpful indicators of our own preferences and not something that we should be avoiding. We talked about what Cassandra did when her spiritual practice conflicted with listening to her body and what you can learn from that as well. We discussed how we can use spirituality to beat ourselves up and why we should stop, how to discern what is right for you, collecting the bits that work and leaving the bits that don't. We talked about how to stop the inner conflict of am I meant to, am I not, like how to really recognize the difference between discernment and resistance. How to release the fear of missing out for good by remembering that what is meant for you will never miss you. Why your soul will never do one thing, which is beat you up. It will never do that. And the best explanation I've ever heard of for the difference between resistance to your own expansion and truly knowing something is not in your path. This part alone is worth listening to the whole podcast for. So it's all about being real with what is and being able to discern that for yourself. It's really powerful and like no bullshit, which is what I'm really up and all about at the moment. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast. Cassandra is amazing. We had a lot of fun. I do want to give you a heads up that this was about the third time that we tried to record the episode, and both of us are very, very busy women, and this was as good as we could get in terms of internet reception to get the right line for this. So I hope that you can forgive. There's like a few jittery bits in there. I hope you can forgive that and really allow yourself to receive the vibration and the message behind it. And forgive me this once for the little pauses that came in from the internet reception. Maybe our energy was just too high vibe, and Zoom couldn't handle it. But yeah, please do forgive that and enjoy the episode for what it is. It's kind of like everything we've been talking about. Just be with what is, be with what's real. So enjoy, and I will see you on the other side. Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you. Like, I feel so lit up just being in your presence in general. So thank you, Gorgeous.
Aw, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. So we were talking just before about what we were going to talk about, and I'm really excited about this thread of being real with what is, like, actually being, like, we can do so many amazing things. We are so gifted and so talented, and even if you're not quite sure that you're that gifted and talented, you are. and I think sometimes it can get in the way of us living in what is. So just yesterday I was walking on the beach, and I was with this, like, guy that I just met. It's irrelevant. He's just a guy, not a story there. But we were both in, like, the coaching world, and I watched us, like, as I was with him, I also observed myself, and I thought, oh my God, like, we're just so, we can see each other so deeply. And it's like, we're almost analyzing as we're meeting each other at the same time. There's so much that can go on in that interaction. Tell me what you're noticing in that, like, just that we're spiritual and there's so many dimensions and layers and Akashic records, and also we're human and we need to be human and be in this experience at the same time. I would love to hear what you're experiencing in this.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much I can unpack on this, and it's definitely a topic that I've been working with a lot. One of my upcoming books really features solely around this. And a lot of my coaching is transformed around it too, to be what I like to call almost practical magic, like the balancing of the earth and, like, what I call, like, the ethers or heaven or whatever you want to call it, the spiritual realm. And being able to really, you know, have these gifts, use these gifts, you know, see all the things we see, but also know when we have to do, like, be on earth, when we have to really see things for what they are. And the example that I had given, which is, I mean, we can really go into this in every aspect of your life. I think an interesting one to go after this one with money, just as a note, because I think that's another topic people would really be interested in. But we were talking about it around guys, like you said. And me and a lot of my girlfriends have talked about this. You know, I mentioned that I can read the Akashic records. I can remote view. I have a lot of powers around this psychically, and it's fun, right? And of course, it's one thing when you're using it to help a client, right? Which is, I firmly believe, why we have this, these gifts, to be able to help ourselves on our journey and help other people on their journey. But then how can we help ourselves when we're dating someone, not want to know the full breadth of them? And as you kind of hinted to before, it's funny because it's like, you, when you're dating someone, you want to know all, there's so much mystery in the beginning, right? Because you're just getting to know someone, you're doing your little dance where you're like, is he going to call? What are we going to do? Like, all the things, finding out more about him. And it's so tempting and easy to see his highest self. Right? I think being in this world, one of the first gifts that a lot of us have is that we really get to see each other's highest self, right? Whether you're coming from A Course in Miracles or whatever spiritual text you're coming from, it's you see the human in everybody and you see the God in everyone, right? And that's, like, one of the most beautiful gifts that we all get, being able to see the God in the man at the grocery store, being able to see, you know, the human and the God in someone that cuts you off, you know, all of that stuff. And then, of course, we see this person who we're romantically interested in, and we see their amazing capacity. We see their potential. We see, you know, them 2.0. And that is something I found, and a lot of my girlfriends have found, can be a little bit dangerous. Because, yes, you should absolutely hold the space for someone, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, for someone's highest self, for them to be the expression of themselves fully. And that's a beautiful thing. But you also need to balance that And I think especially with dating relationships, with who they're showing up on earth at. And there has to be that practical element where honestly, me and my girlfriends have made a pact now that we don't do any of that when we date someone. Mm-hmm. I don't go into their Akashic records anymore. I don't remote view. I'm not talking to their highest self. I'm not doing any of it. I'm dating the human in front of me. And I'm learning about that human as that human helps me learn about them, and not like trying to tap into their energy field and noticing. I mean, there's so much that you will pick up immediately just from being with someone as far as like how their energy feels and it feels good. That is all you need to know. That's my opinion. That's all you need to know. I think knowing too much more than that can be straight trouble, because so much of what you see, and you can see this in yourself, right? So if you tap into your highest self, which I'm assuming a lot of the people on this podcast have already done, if they're listening, you see this version of you that's like you with all of your human, without any of your human character defects, without any of your, you know, human blocks or struggles or negative thought patterns or fears or childhood wounds, right? It's like this, like you just like remove that casing and you saw the pure essence of who you are. But the truth of the matter is that here on earth, you have both, you know? And so you, just as you have to work through that, like maybe your highest self doesn't have any fear around public speaking because your highest self is just this pure ball of light that wants to spread light. But all of a sudden you get on a stage in front of 500 people and you're like, want to piss yourself, right? Like that's your human self, right? That's like, cause that's coming through this human container. And then that's what happened. Perhaps that could manifest in you not doing public speaking until you work through that fear, whatever. We all have that. And there's nothing, I say that because I think if you can see it in yourself and it makes you think, it's not like I'm saying anything bad about anybody you're dating, but it's just like this person, and oftentimes this is at least me and my girlfriend's experiences, you know, when you're talking to their higher self and you're feeling into their greater energy, you're like, oh my God, like this person is so loving, this person does want to do that, that we excuse a lot of their human stuff. Mm-hmm. And we forget that we're dating their human self, we're not dating their spirit, you know, like that's part of the package. Yeah. And it's important to really see them and be on earth with that. And really, you know, just in that topic of romantic dating, the practical wisdom, I think that needs to be there is just meeting the person where they're at and collecting the data as it's given. So I really think, you know, especially in dating, and this is funny because I told you we could talk about anything. I don't really talk about dating a lot. It's not like, I talk about it a lot in my private sessions with people, but I don't really talk about it publicly. And it is one of those things where it's like you need to be present with where he is or she is today and what they're showing you and how they're showing up. Because chances are, you know, if you're dating someone, their highest self probably thinks you're amazing. They have great love for you. But if their human self can't like get through their fears and their blocks enough in order to, you know, show up for you and like send you a text message or call you to make plans or show up in a loving way for you, then it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, honestly, sometimes it can be more painful, I think, if you connect to that. So it's absolutely holding that space and being like for the greatness that this person is, but being very much on earth about it and realizing that, you know, where this person's at is where this person's at right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not our job to try to change them. It's just our job to see them for who they really are right now. And, you know, lovingly be with them or lovingly not be with them if that's not, you know, how it is.
Yeah. I love that so much because I feel like if we tuned in truly to the soul of any person that crosses our path, we could be madly in love with them. So we need to be discerning. We need to figure out what the human is at, like where the human is at right now. And one of my friends said to me once, I feel like people try to tell you all the time who they really are right now, and you just ignore it because you see like their soul or whatever. It's like they're trying to tell you, like their behavior is showing you in every step who they really are at this point right now. And
absolutely,
we can spiritually bypass that. So yes, I really, really am hearing you. So what do you do to discern between, do you know what I've beaten myself up with in the past is I've been like, oh, but you're just judging. You're judging and it's probably a reflection of you. And I use that to minimize what I saw as the truth of how they were showing up in that moment, like dating or not. What do you do to make sure that like this like very fine line between judgment and discernment, and how do you make sure that what you're seeing as their human self is not a projection of what you need to see in yourself in that moment?
Well, I think, yeah, this is the thing. I think sometimes we abuse this whole, like, we abuse the whole mirror thing, I think, a lot, honestly, in the spiritual community.
Yes.
Not everything is a mirror. And the thing is at the end of the day, if it's like you could, it takes just be a moment, right? You can be like, wow, there's no quality in this person that I exhibit that I don't like about myself, right? The way I see it, and what came to me like the second you asked this question, was that judgment I feel sometimes can be information about your preferences, right? So I'm not saying we should go around and judge people, but let's face it, like judging people is part of being human. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, absolutely, you can have an opinion, right? And I think the negative part of judgment comes when you're kind of like, the way I see it, like judgment is when you're making someone bad, right? When you're making someone bad because of it. Whereas judgment can also be just information.
Yeah.
Right?
Noticing.
Right? So I'm trying to think of, you want to give me an example of one of the times
sure.
you judged?
I think I've noticed in the past that someone is not able to meet me. And then I've gone, who are you to judge that? Like, who are you to judge this person as not being able to meet you and hold you and support you where you're at? And then realize later that I was right.
Yeah. So yeah. I would say, yeah, that was not, I wouldn't even call that judgment. You know, I would say that was you discerning and you really seeing someone where someone's at and being like, they can't meet you, which is something that happens, right? And it's not, I think the difference is in it not being the judgment or the negative and on that, right? Would be if you were saying that somehow this person was less than because they couldn't meet you, right? And so if you're like, well, if only you were more spiritually evolved, we could date. and you'd be judgy. But it's not judgy to say that this person can't meet me. Like, for instance, like going out, I went out like a couple months ago on a date with this guy that, I mean, I just met him. I didn't really know much about him other than I thought he was cute. And we just met for tea. And I could tell within like the first 15 minutes that like he was not in a life stage yet that would be ready to handle me, right? And I wasn't judging him for being at that life stage that he's at, but I noticed it and I was like, it's okay. Like, not everybody is for you. I think that's the problem also, like sometimes when we get into the spiritual world too much, is that we think like, oh no, like I need to just accept him right where he is. Like, absolutely, you need to accept him as a human, mm-hmm. right where he is, and love him right where he is as a human. That does not mean you have to date him, mm-hmm. right? It's like a very different thing. So you can see someone be like, you're a great person. You are not, you know, a fit for me right now because of whatever. Same thing with friends, right? I think that's another thing. We think like, oh no, like everybody has to be my friend. Everybody does not have to be your friend. You know, you're allowed to, you know, see someone and, you know, you can love them. You can love someone. Actually, I remember this. This is really beautiful. I went to see Oprah's You Can Change Your Life tour. And she was on stage with Ayana Van Zandt.
Yes. I love her. Yes.
Yes. And Elizabeth Gilbert, and
love her too.
I love Elizabeth Gilbert. And so they were talking about how, like, you can love someone and not want to see them.
Yeah.
You can forgive someone and not want to hang out and not want to have breakfast with them, you know? Mm. And this idea that, like, sometimes the most loving thing to do is to not, like, be with that person. It is a discernment, you know? It is. And sometimes I think while we're still wading through our own stuff, it does kind of come in the form of judgments at times. And, you know, I will say sometimes my most judgy area will be social media and will be other people that do what I do. And I will experience judgments around people doing things that I feel is not authentic or gross. Like that's like what I feel. Like I'll see certain presenting their things in a certain way and just be like, oh, right? And I used to feel so guilty about it. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person because I look at that and I'm like trying to find the love for her, but I just like, oh, don't that. I don't like what she's doing. I feel like it's giving us a bad rap or whatever, you know, whatever my crazy like head goes. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, I stopped and I take a step back and I really like, I have so much for all the people that do the work that we do and all the people in our field, because I know how much it takes. And I can love, there are people, that, especially in this industry, that I absolutely love. I think they're incredible humans. Mm. And my judgments around how they run their business only help me know my preferences, right? They help me know that like, wow, okay, so maybe the way this person markets said course, right, is just not for me. Yeah. Like the fact that like I have those little judgments or I have those icky feelings around it, or it doesn't feel good to me. It feels gross. I like think all those little, like my head goes crazy. It's just my soul, my spirit, my path, my information telling me not for you. Yeah. Right. And when I just look at it like that, I'm not judging the person because I mean, I would say 80% of the time, not all the time, but 80% of the time, that feels really aligned with what they're doing, right? And so it's not that they're necessarily, I mean, sometimes you'll have people that are doing things that like don't feel good to them, but they feel like they have to do it anyway. And like you can sense that too. But if someone is really aligned, and even them, like I send them so much love because how painful that must be, right? Yeah. Like I can have so much compassion for that person and I can have so much love for this other person who feels super aligned doing that. And that person could look at the way I run my business and be like, oh, I don't know. She's just like, I've lost my mind doing that, right? And it doesn't have to be a judgment as much as it's information, right? Mm-hmm. For us to say, wow, like, that's not me, right? That's not how I want to run things. That's not how, you know, I think we get in so many areas of our life, right? Like, you can even see, in your friends' relationships, right? Like maybe you have little judgments about your friends' relationships. And it doesn't mean you have any judgments against like either of the people in the relationships. Maybe it's you just developing your preferences and being like, wow, like it makes me feel really uncomfortable the fact that like they, you know, make baby voices when we're out in public with a group or whatever, when they talk to each other and whatever. Right? And then like, so it's like, not that they're bad people for doing it. They're in their element. God bless them, whatever they're doing. Right. But to you, you're just saying, okay, like when I'm in partnership, that's not how I want to express my love in public. You know, like maybe my preference is just to like hold hands under the table or whatever. Right. And it doesn't make theirs wrong and yours right. It just, it helps you gain information about your preferences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are in the spiritual world so trying to find the ego that we're like, oh, that was my ego that just made that judgment and I shouldn't be making that judgment. But whereas like the ego could be the voice that's saying that was your ego that made that judgment and you just like criticized yourself and beat yourself up using like spiritual ways to do it. So that's one of the things that I found that I have done on my path, and thankfully I'm like way more aware of it now, in that I used, like, before I found spirituality, I was beating myself up and I was a perfectionist. And then I found spirituality and I just used that to beat myself up and be a perfectionist in that as well.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that? Have you done the same thing, or do you notice other people are doing the same thing?
Yeah. So I think Danielle Laporte said it. I love Danielle Laporte.
Like a sigh of relief, that woman.
Yes. Read White Hat Truth. This is an unsponsored post. It's great. But she said something like, the highest form of self-love is self-compassion. And I could be butchering her exact words, but she like promotes self-compassion. And I do think that that is the highest form of spirituality, the highest form of self-love, because it's, you know, whatever you want to call it, the ego, the voice inside your head, yourself, whatever you relate to it, doesn't really matter. But I love what you shared, how that, like, it's so clever that it will just kind of take, you know, it'll take whatever tools you give it and use it against you. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely feel like I went through a phase, I'm trying to think of so this is a good example of that. When I'm a trained Kundalini teacher. Mm-hmm. And so when I was going through my teacher training, I remember like I would feel so guilty if I woke up late for my sadhana. Like in Kundalini, just so like, you know, you're supposed to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. You do like 2.5 hours of meditation before you start the day. You have like specific meditations that you do. Yeah, it's intense. And then you also have like other things that you're supposed to do that like are alignment with it. And so when you're in teacher training, it's like even more no joke, like you have to do this. And so luckily I had gone on the train like a while before I even teach trained and had been used to doing this sadhana and the whole thing. But I'm also someone that, as you know, anybody who's like read my book or like followed me for years knows that like I listen to my body. I treat my body like it's really important for me to make sure my body is feeling good, because I do believe my body is like a vessel of God and a vessel of wisdom, and I'm meant to treat it well. Mm-hmm. I think we all are. So when my spiritual practice conflicts with me treating my body well, and it did during that time, and I was still kind of like, I would say like a little bit more green, and feeling like definitely a student of Kundalini. And so I was at this place where it was physically hurting my body every morning, and I needed more sleep. And I was taking naps during the day, and I just like, I wasn't, my body, you know, between that and the teacher training, honestly, like my body was just giving me all sorts of, like my body never felt worse in my life. And we would be in like the weekends of training, and I would have just the most intense pains in my body. I would feel so tired, so drained, so exhausted. And like you said, beat myself up about it in my head. I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're failing at this. Like, you're not like, you know, here you are being some sort of like teacher and coach and leader or whatever, and you can't even do this like yoga training. And like just making myself feel like I was some sort of a failure for not like for this not feeling good, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, towards the end of the teacher training, I had gotten enough of self-empowerment, let's call it, right? Where there was something in my brain that clicked on and was like, you know what? I've been very clear about what I'm here to teach is self-sovereignty towards listening to our body. Like one of my primary teachings is helping people realize that there is no one teaching for everybody. that you decide what, like, we all have a very unique path, and our body helps us learn what that path is through communicating to us. And so that's like a core tenet of who I am, of what I preach, of what I practice, of what I live, is always my body knows, but my body knows better than my mind, because my mind is a little liar. But my body is the ultimate truth teller, right? Yeah. And so here my body is like practically like flailing and screaming and being like, get out, get out. And it was so hard because at the end I finally listened and I was like, oh, I can't, like, this is not me. And it was, you know, I don't need to get into it, but there are a lot of other things that came up after that that really echoed the fact that it really wasn't for me. Mm. And, you know, that is not, you know, I still do Kundalini meditations from time to time. I don't do an intense regimen anymore. I don't subscribe to like all the little things because that doesn't feel good to me. To me, I don't believe in subscribing to any sort of organized thing, right? Mm. I think you take the bits and you take the gold from different things and you, like, again, you run it through your body and you use the things and you honor teachings and you honor the text, but then you are the ultimate decider. You are the ultimate truth teller. So if it's something doesn't feel good to your body, then it's not. So anyway, that was an example of one of those, like, a really big time in my life where I had to get through beating myself up about it and had to realize that, you know, oftentimes you want to call it the ego or the little evil roommate in your head, I like to call it, it's trying to drown out the information that we're getting.
Yeah.
Right? So you're getting information, it's coming in, and then it beats you up so that you feel guilty for that information, right? When in reality, if we really honor everything as information, if we honor the way our body feels, if we, you know, I think whatever it is, it's like if something doesn't feel peaceful in your heart, in your soul, if something doesn't feel relaxed or energized, I mean, it's either like a relaxed feeling of calm or it's an energized feeling in your body, then it's not the truth, that it's not for you, then it's not for you right now, whether it's like a diet, a boy, a yoga, whatever it is. It doesn't mean it. And the thing is that it doesn't mean that the thing, whatever it is bad. It's just not for you.
Yes.
Right? And that's the difference. It's like, you're not saying like, this is wrong. Like, people that eat this is wrong. People that practice that is wrong. Absolutely not. You're simply saying, like, you know what? That's not for me, not right now. Or, you know, I'm going to take those three teachings that I love from that, but like, some of this other stuff doesn't feel so good to me, so I'm going to leave that. And this is, that's where we are right now, like, as a species, as our consciousness is evolving, where we get to pick these little pieces and we all have our unique path and our unique, you know, kind of medley that we're making.
I love that. It reminds me actually of like this smallest little thing that happened while I was on my trip recently. I went on a two-day tour around like Avery and Cornwall and like sacred sites and stuff. And we got to this one point and everyone was getting out of the car to go on this walk. And I had been like processing this, I want to stay in the car and sleep desire. And I could hear this voice. And it was like, you're at these sacred sites. Like, what if you miss something? This could be really important. Blah, blah. And I thought, do you know what? My truth would never beat me up like that. My soul would never tell me that I was gonna miss out on something or like nothing. Like my soul would say, go, just go. Like, and that's how I would know. But the beating you up, fuck no, I'm out. So I stayed in the car and I
love that.
So how do
that.
You
it's true. It's like if you were meant to do that, you would be energized to do it. There would be this thing inside of you that would be like, you know what? Just go. Like you said. And it's funny because that's something that comes up with clients a lot when we're like in the beginning and just kind of learning to trust that barometer and learn what voice is what. And it happens. They ask me this a lot because one of the examples I always give is with events. Like I got invited when I first started doing what I do, I got invited to all these events. And in the beginning, I was like, ooh, like, I'm so excited to be invited to all these events. Like, I'm important. Like, people want me to be someplace or whatever. And so I'd go to everything. Mm-hmm. And after a while, not even a while, like after a couple months of that, I remember being like, I am exhausted by these events. Like, they don't feel good. Like, I don't want to do it. And so I stopped, like, I would start like checking in with myself every time and just be like, do I really feel like I should go to this thing? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I stopped going. Now I like go to very little events. And like, if I do go, it's because I feel really called to go. And people always ask me, well, don't you, if like it's in your nature to not want to go to events, which is true, don't you ever feel like you need to like push yourself outside your comfort zone? Or don't you feel like sometimes you miss out or whatever, like kind of in that example you gave was perfect. Mm. And it's like, no, because even if you're tired, even if it's in my nature to not want to go to events, if I'm meant to be somewhere, there will be something inside me that will feel it. And I still might be pushing through my comfort zone. It might be the end, and this totally has happened. Could be the end of like a long, long day. I could have had two other events, could be driving across town in LA to it. But something inside me, even though like the little brat inside me is fighting it, that's like, just go. Just yes. go. Right? And if that voice is not there, I am not going. Right? And we can trust that. We can trust that it'll be there. And if the more compassionate thing to do feels like resting and taking care of yourself, then that's always the truth.
Mm, yes. Oh, I got goosebumps as you said that. I love that so much. I want to ask one last question and then we have to move over to the secret episode because we've already running out of time, even though time doesn't exist, but you know, I love it. So then I found, Gay Hendrix and the whole upper limit thing. And so then I was like, okay, I can see where I've done that. And also I almost used that. I was aware this time though, to beat myself up and be like, what if this is just resistance? So how do you know the difference? And I know that, you know, what is meant for you will always like come around, and that if it doesn't stop at your station, the train wasn't for you. I know that stuff, but how do you identify in the moment for the people listening between this is resistance and this is me not feeling safe enough to move to the next level, and this is actually just me being tired, or, you know, this is an opportunity for self-compassion? Like, how do you know when to push yourself that little bit extra, and how do you know when to rest in what is going on at the moment?
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. I love the big leap. And I really do think it comes down to it's so funny because in my head, I'm like, well, you know, but like,
but what for the people like, who don't know yet?
Articulate it, Cassandra, articulate it. Okay. Come on, God, speak. So this is how I would describe it for myself, right? Is like a burning desire in my heart for something. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I mean, a lot of what he talks about is around your career, right? So if you really in your heart of hearts, what lights you up, what brings you the most joy, and so whatever that is, right? If that's having like publishing a book, if that's being a teacher, that's whatever it happens to be, right? And you can even think of the mission connected to that. But I would almost say, like, you don't need to worry about the mission for this part, because sometimes our missions can, like, that's a whole other conversation. But sometimes our missions can derail us from honestly just, like, really getting pure about, like, what genuinely lights us up? What's our zone of genius? What is the thing that we come alive in? Where are you a freaking magician in your life? Like, where you're like, you're on cloud nine, like whatnot. So that's the area where you're working from. That's the area where you'd feel the plateaus or whatnot, right? And so what happens is if you keep that desire in your heart, and chances are once you find it, it'll be hard for you to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do any conscious effort. And then you're going to naturally feel different areas of discomfort, right? There's going to be that feeling of fear, but there is a very big difference in feeling something is not right for you and feeling and something being an upper limit problem, right? So I'm just going to use an example because I think that's probably the best way I can articulate it. So I was on a TV show. I was on a TV show for cooking back in the day called The Taste on ABC. And when I had been doing like little YouTube cooking videos, I had a blog or whatever at the time. And then when the producers called me for this show, all of a sudden, like all of my stuff came up and I was like, like, not me. Like, I don't know how to do that. I can't be on TV. Da, 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 all this stuff, all this crazy stuff came up. And when I sat with it, like, no, like, why not? Like, this was all divinely guided. You ended up here. You're going to say yes. Like, we're going to do it. And as I was going through it, like, as I was like shooting it and filming it, literally every day it was like slaying different dragons. It was like being able to, like, there was all this stuff, like being like, what if everybody laughs at you? What if, you know, you make a mockery out of, you're out here trying to set forth this great example, and what if you make a mockery of it, right? And what if, like, all these things, right? And it was really was this feeling of fear, where in a certain sense it would have been comfortable to just politely decline it and to go on living my life that was fine.
Yeah.
Wasn't great, but it was fine.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is something where I would call like pushing through your upper limit problem, is when like something comes in, an opportunity, a chance to like rise to the occasion comes in and you're terrified and you're scared and it feels like you don't deserve it. Like, I feel like all of those kinds of things are indications that it's an upper limit problem. If you're just like, oh, I'm not ready for this, I don't deserve it. Like, what will people think? Like, any of that in your head is an indication that it's just an upper limit problem and you should push through it. Now, difference would be, I had another friend who was offered a TV show and they wanted her to film. They wanted her to film like 5 days a week, and had this like kind of rigorous schedule and stuff. And she is a single mother and has a child of, that was, I don't know, I think maybe like 6 at the time or whatnot. But, and she like was like, oh, this would be great for business, da da da. And what was coming up for her wasn't necessarily like, am I worthy of this, da da da. Like, that wasn't the conversation. The conversation for her was like, I don't know if this feels good for my life, right? And for her, the self-compassionate choice was saying like, you know what? Thank you so much. This is a tremendous opportunity, but my heart and my priority lie living life where I can be really present raising my son, where I can, you know, still keep my business up, but. And so that her saying no to that wasn't at all in a place, it was not an upper limit thing, right? And she could have easily, you know, mentally masturbated into thinking it was, right? But right, as we do. But yeah, for her, it was really clear. So I think that would be the difference, right? When the choice is the self-compassionate choice, when you're actually looking at something and saying, hey, because there are often times in life, especially as you get clear and you get lined, where things that are really amazing will be offered to you. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't feel good, you are going to say no.
Yeah.
And it's different saying no because it doesn't feel good and saying no because you're scared and you don't want to like step into the fire. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that would be different.
Yeah, that is like the most clear way I have ever heard it described. So I'm glad that you're like, God help me, because I don't know what to say. It was really, really clear. Two very contrasting examples. You are incredible. This podcast has been incredible and so fast. Can you tell people how they can come and find you if they would like to find out more about what you do? And then we'll head to the secret episode and we'll find out behind the scenes of your life real quick. But yes, but how can they come and find out more about you, gorgeous one?
Yeah, so CassandraBodzak.com or at CassandraBodzak on any of the social media, or YouTube.com/CassandraBodzakTV. Tons of videos and meditations on almost anything you could probably think of. So if you want a fix, you'll love that.
You're incredible. In this short amount of time, we've gotten so much from hanging with you. So I hope everyone comes to check you out, beautiful one. But yes, now we get to go find out more about, like, what are your morning routines and how do you get to where you are today? So yeah, I'm really excited to see that. Let's go do that.
Cass is so amazing and I loved recording this episode so much, except for the few jittery bits. I hope that you were, if you got this far, you were able to look past them and to hear past them and to hear all of the magnificence that was hidden hidden within. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for caring enough about yourself and about the world for listening to these kinds of podcasts. I love you. I love people like you. I love you. And I'm just so in love with life at the moment, which is awesome. I hope you can feel that and that this episode was a transmission of that for you, my love. Thank you for who you are and what you are doing in the world. If you would like to be surrounded by other people who are doing this kind of stuff, then head on over to our Facebook group, Lightworkers Rising. You can search it in the search bar, or you can go to facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising to get access. Amazing. Hundreds of people in there who are really supportive of each other and just living a real courageous spiritual human experience. And if you want access to the secret episode where we talked about Cassandra's morning practice, how fake it till you make it actually worked for both of us in terms of gratitude, Cass's future visualization practice, her evening practices, why her friends say that her house is like a spiritual spa retreat, and what has really made the difference for her to gain the incredible success that she has, then head over to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret, because that is where you get all of the secret juicy goss from behind the scenes. And this is really a powerful secret episode, so I hope that you go ahead and do that. I love you so much. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please hit share, because it could make a difference to someone who is currently using spirituality to beat themselves up, and to someone who maybe needs to learn and know about discernment, and that discernment is a powerful thing for all of us and not something that we should be judging ourselves for doing. I love you so much, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. You have just listened to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And it is my honor to be able to offer you an opportunity for free that you can continue to learn and grow and embody more of the truth and power of who you really are. I have a free audio training on my website that talks all about the science and the ancient wisdom that allows you to live the ideal life that you desire right now, and how that makes you the most powerful and irresistible magnet for your desires. Anyway, live it internally, live it vibrationally, and then allow it to arrive in your life with ease and flow and grace and so much joy. So you can head to aninspiredlife.com.au and download the free audio training that makes your manifestations inevitable. No more hope, pray, and wish. This is inevitable stuff. And it's my honor to be able to share it with you. So head to aninspiredlife.com.au and I will see you all next week.